From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made in 2010 in Rochester when a woman received a college scholarship. For Willie Jean, the $10,000 was much more than money. It was a symbol of a new life. Willie Jean had struggled with addiction. In 2005, she went to Sojourner House seeking support and housing. When asked to create goals for herself, she decided to go back to school and earn her degree. She enrolled at MCC but struggled with the coursework. And then things started to turn around. Sojourner House provided Willie Jean with a tutor, and she boosted her GPA from a 2.1 to a 3.4 and made the dean's list. She moved out of the house apartment and into her own place in Greece. She even inspired her son, Byron, to go back to school. Mother and son graduated from MCC together in 2009. Willie Jean earned degrees in human services and alcohol and substance abuse counseling so she can help others struggling with addiction. She got a full-time job, went on to Nazareth College on scholarship to pursue a bachelor's degree. That's just one of the success stories. Named at, I think the house is named for Sojourner Truth, right? It's Sojourner House. Tree Clemens is going to confirm that for me in just a second. It's a nonprofit that provides housing and support services for women and children in critical situations. Residents call it a house of miracles and a sanctuary. Earlier this year, Sojourner House and Pathstone formed a partnership with Wilson Commencement Park, and their goal is simple, to improve services for families in need. So this hour, let's explore that collaboration, and in a year when we're seeing kind of the ramping up of the Rochester Monroe Anti-Poverty Initiative. I think this is just one in many threads that are trying to help people in crisis, helping people look for permanent and long-term solutions. Let me welcome our guests first. And I just mentioned Tree Clemens, the Director of Resident Services at Sojourner House at Pathstone. Great to have you, named after Sojourner Truth, right?
Yes, it is.
Okay, absolutely. I wanted to make sure I had my history right there. It goes back to 1982, I think. Is that right?
1981, actually, is when it started. Great. Some women sitting around a table, problem solving. And they decided this was an untapped resource in the community, and so it began.
Well, it's great to have you here. Welcome.
Thanks
for being here. Stuart Mitchell's here, the president and CEO of Pathstone Corporation. Stuart, great to have you as well.
Thank you, Evan.
Crystal Ellis is here, the director of operations at Wilson Commencement Park at Pathstone. Crystal, welcome.
Thank you.
And Shamantha Cooper's here, a Wilson Commencement Park graduate and a current resident at Monica Place. That's a Sojourner House permanent apartment location. Shamantha, welcome. Great to have you.
Hello.
Well, let's just start with what this partnership means. And I guess I'll look at you, Stuart, and just say, you know, for our community here, there are a lot of different partnerships, and maybe even more so than ever with the Anti-Poverty Initiative. Mm-hmm. What is new here? What's going on?
I think what we see as new is the opportunity for organizations that have similar mission, similar funding sources, similar ways in which they have delivered those services, come together in a new and dynamic way that increases the possibility of improved services, of increased capacity, of generating an opportunity for us to reach more people in need of our services.
So I want to ask our panel then to explain a little bit about what Wilson Commencement Park is and does for those who don't know, what Sojourner House is for those who might not know. Crystal, can I start with you, Director of Operations at Wilson Commencement Park? What's the mission? Who do you help? How many, et cetera?
Absolutely, and it's a pleasure to be here. So for over 24 years, we have been able to provide services for thousands. And in 1991, Wilson Commencement Park was established by the Wilson Foundation to help families transition from public assistance to financial independence. And a matter of fact, we were the first in the city of Rochester to offer supportive transitional housing for single families. So we have a rich history in implementing groundbreaking solutions to combat poverty and domestic violence. So, Wilson is a two-year program, and I'll tell you a little bit about the program. And over the course of 2 years, we set attainable goals for our clients, which includes becoming enrolled in a full-time educational program and working full-time. So to prepare them for safe and permanent housing, we provide them with case management, career development, and life skills courses. So this program is simply amazing, and now living under the Pathstone umbrella, we will most certainly broaden our scope in terms of services offered and families these services. So both organizations, we cannot deny the impact we have made on the community. And now by joining forces, we are stronger and absolutely better together.
All right. And how do they find you? How do people who need you find you? How do you find them?
Well, you know what? It takes a community, and we go by referrals. We actually do intensive outreach. And starting this year, we have an intake specialist, and our intake specialist goes out into the community and let the surrounding agencies know about what we have to offer. So because we've been around for 24 years, we are well known. So our doors are always open. We have informational meetings 2 times a week on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 10 a.m. And once the doors open, the families flood in.
Okay. Well, Tree Clemens, how do you describe your mission? Again, the Director of Resident Services at Sojourner House at Pathstone. How do you describe what you do?
We describe it as providing shelter, structure, strength, and inspiration. And what I mean by that is we have the shelter. We have transitional housing, which is a 3 to 6 month program for up to 16 women and women with children. We have permanent housing options. In Monica Place, Nancy Watson Dean, we have a program in Greece, New York as well. And we have outreach services. So, and within those organizations, we have a structure where we have life skills programming. We provide parenting classes, money management, cooking and nutrition classes. In addition to that, we have programs for our youth. We have what's called the Dream Seeds Academy of Performing Arts. So the children have an opportunity to practice and learn instruments. They learn African dance, African drumming, tap dancing. We have the Dream Seeds Choir that is becoming very well known in the community and sought after for public performances. And in the last year and a couple of months, we have had a jazz band that was created. In addition to that piece of the children's programming, we have Study Buddy, where children come together twice a week with a study buddy and actually do homework and play games. They act as a mentor, and this happens throughout the school year. We also have what's called our Seedlings program, which is right in our transitional location, where there's a case manager that works directly with the school-aged children in transitional housing to teach them life skills related to coming home, unpacking the backpack, looking at homework, and they do this with the parent, and how to engage them in learning. And then we also have what's called our summer experience, which gives kids a chance to play in the summer, but it's structured play. They have a garden out back at Sojourner House, and we cook what we eat. So they're learning about that and going on various field trips. So quite a few things going on at Sojourner House.
And when it comes to permanent housing, you mentioned permanent housing options. For people who have been in crisis, people who have been without a home, is that the biggest challenge? Because again, we can talk about when someone's in crisis, you can provide someone a home for a night or a weekend. You can help them in various needs. You can get a bill paid here and there, those kind of things. But a permanent solution seems to be one of the biggest challenges for crisis. Would you agree with that?
I would agree with that, but it's not insurmountable. I think that if you can meet the person where they're at, find out what's going on with them individually. You know, we can look at a group of people and try to find a solution that meets all of their needs, and we're not going to come up with that. We've got to find out what the solution is for that person and engage them in that process. They have to be ready and willing.
It's really personalized, though.
It's very personalized, and that's something that is very important to us at Sojourner House, is to personalize that solution. When you come in the door, we have that conversation. What's been going on in your life that's led you here? This is a temporary situation. How can we make a permanent change?
And so you get a wide variety of answers on that, don't
Absolutely.
You?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
And that's okay. It is resource intensive, I'm sure, which is also why I think this partnership, I'm sure, is so important, because if you could do a sort of a one-size-fits-all approach to someone who's either been homeless or in crisis, et cetera, but to do what Tree is talking about is a lot more resource-intensive. And you can see some of the success stories. I want to talk to Samantha Cooper, who is, a Wilson Commencement Park graduate and a current resident at Monica Place. Where Monica Place is, you've been there for how long?
3.5 years.
How's it going?
Very pleasant.
Okay. Yes. So let's back up. Tell me a little bit about your story.
Well, I entered into Wilson Commencement's program in 2011. And I just wanted to start a fresh life. Sometimes, you know, life can knock you down, get you kind of screwed up in the head, kind of, sort of,
sure.
And get you a little bit confused. I always knew growing up that I always wanted to be somebody. And I kind of lost that a little bit. And I chose to move into Wilson Commencement Park. There, I met my life coach. And she pretty much just helped me find myself again, and to be everything that I want to be, and to keep my faith, which was one thing that I was working on. I went back to my foundation once I moved in Wilson Commencement Park, which was huge for me. It's a very, very good program. I am just so happy that we're merging together, because I see these guys, they're my family. We're a family now.
Now, you mentioned sort of making a decision in your life that you wanted to kind of regain some control. Did you have anyone pushing you in that direction? Did you have to do it yourself? You know, what were some of the things that had to happen before you were ready to do that?
What it boils down to is yourself, the inside, your spirit, who you are as a person. How do you want your life to be? How do you want to live your life? What do you want to leave behind when you're not here anymore? So I'm one of those people who are like, power, you know, girl power. And I started to get to know my life coach. We are set there with life coaches there. And they pretty much just guide you, whatever you want to do. They support you in everything that you want to do. So I just took heed. I opened my mind. I lost fear. I was always kind of like scared to like do certain things, or maybe this won't work, or maybe that won't work, or maybe I won't get it, or maybe it's too hard. My mind started to change.
What are you talking about? School, work, life?
I'm talking about life. Life. I had to get my mind back stable. And to focus on me and my children. So once I moved that Wilson Commencement Park, things started to just click like a chain, because I had that support and I wanted it.
Now for you, you grew up in Rochester?
Yes, I did.
How many kids do you have?
3 children.
How are they doing?
Great.
Yeah?
Yes.
What are the ages there?
16, 12, and 7.
Okay. And so, you know, in 2011, you were ready to make some of these changes. What was the difference between you in 2009, 2010, and you in 2011? If we would have met you in 2009, 2010, what would have been different?
What can I say was different about me? I think my whole mind frame from 2009 till 2011. I would say in 2009, I was ready, but I wasn't ready all the way, because I hadn't made any steps. It was just a seed that was growing in me to want to change and want to be better and want to go after my dreams.
How are you getting by?
How was I getting by?
Yeah.
I always worked. I work in the healthcare field. I went to school for my CNA in 2005. So I had that ground already for working. During my process, I never stopped working. I always cared for elders. That's my passion. It's just a whole lot that I can really say about Wilson Commencement Park and Pathstone and the way that they have helped me in my life. And I just want to tell any woman with kids, you know, if you feel like you're down, you can always get back up. When you feel like there's no one there for you, there's places that you can go to, and there's people that don't know you but care a lot about your well-being and your children's well-being as well. So it was just very supportive.
Boy, that is a huge message, because there's a lot of people. I'm sure you grew up with some people who need to hear that.
A lot of people are ashamed to let other people know what they're going through in their life. But I'm not, because I can help somebody, you know, somebody that's, oh, this is Shamia up on the radio. Oh, my God, she's telling her business, you know. But I'm reaching somebody that I don't even know. So, it's not about covering up what you're going through. It's about coming out and taking the hand of somebody that you may not know to help you. Everybody needs help sometime. You just got to be willing to do it yourself. You have to actually make those moves on your own. Nobody can make you. You have to do it. They just guide you and support you through the process.
Now, you've got three kids, and, you know, 16 to, let's see, 16?
12 and 7.
And 7, okay. 16 and 7. So, you know, are you going to be able to work now? I mean, parenting is hard enough, right, as you know. How are you doing with that balance? And what do you want to do going forward?
Well, the balance has actually been great, because I have a support system. I have my kid's father. He's there. He helps out a lot. And moving forward, I am going to be a prosecutor, a federal prosecutor. I'm going after that. No more fear, no more.
A lot of work, a lot of study.
A lot of work. Yes, I'm ready.
Yeah?
Yes.
Okay, well, and you mentioned the kid's father still in their life. That's important.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. It's a blessing. And it's huge, because the time that I can't spend with my children, because I want to chase my dreams. I'm 32 years old, and I must say, it's never too late. I'm still going to go after everything that I've wanted to do, everything that I wanted to be. And I'm going to take my kids with me. My son, he's going to be graduating real soon. So hopefully we'll have two graduations going on, you know, and I can just further my life, my career, and give back to my community.
Now, you're 32?
Mm-hmm.
Samantha, you're young.
I know.
I'm going to tell you something.
I know.
You are young.
I know.
You got your whole life ahead of you.
I do.
And what do you, have you thought about the day of having a child graduate high school? What that's going to mean to you, that your first child?
Everything. It's going to mean everything to me. My son is actually going to be going into the Navy. So it's a very good feeling. I've come a long way. I'm proud of myself. I have a long way to go. But I know that on my way down my path, I have a family that I can always call. Wilson Commencement Park staff members, Pathstone, anything that I want to do, any type of schooling situation. If I get stuck, I know that I can call them, and they have resources, you know? You just ask, and it's there for you. Take advantage of it.
You said something as well that I think is important, is that you have to get you have to sort of free up yourself to believe that people who've never met you still care about you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's important.
It's powerful.
Yeah, because obviously look at the impact on Samantha's life there. And Stuart Mitchell is the president and CEO of Pathstone Corporation. Crystal Ellis is here as well, the director of operations at Wilson Commencement Park. I just want to ask to make sure our audience understands something. When we talk about Samantha coming to Wilson Commencement Park in 2011, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then sort of the term graduating from the program. What does that technically mean, Stuart?
I think you're hearing you're actually hearing a graduate and hearing a true story unfold as they build their journey through the support of a stable, affordable environment that creates stability. You put that stability together.
Don't look at each other, because you both can't cry.
You put that stability together with the kind of support systems that organizations like Wilson Commencement, Sojourner, Past Own do, you can begin to see a healing process take place. And that's what I think graduation is really about. Because there's not a date involved. We do celebrate. We do have dates. But it's really a lifelong learning opportunity for them as it is for us. And each person has a different experience coming through that, and we find our way kind of in partnership. And that's what we've done in connecting Past Own with Sojourner in 2010, and now in 2016 bringing Wilson Commencement into an opportunity to grow a program that really had the same mission, had the same structure, and in some ways were competing against each other. And we've now found a way to begin to merge those together. We don't know exactly what that's going to look like. We've taken a leap of faith in terms of the financial future of the organizations, as well as the way in which the community will view our work. But the combination of safe, affordable, decent, stable housing is really critical to this, whether it's permanent or whether it's transitional, whether it's for a week or for hopefully 10 years. That's what is really, really important. Home is important. And have a place to stay is your own is really critical to that.
Shamantha, you brought the house down. You see what you did there?
Mm-hmm. I am grateful. I thank you guys so much. I am so grateful.
So let me ask you just a little about housing then. He just mentioned how valuable that is, how important that is, having a home, knowing that you can rely on that. How has that impacted you?
Let me tell you guys what happened. When I first moved in Wilson Commencement Park, I was in there by myself. I stood in the living room by myself. And for that first time in my life, I felt free. I felt like something was lifted off of me. I felt safe. I was proud of myself that I was beginning right there that moment. That was my time. And from that day forward, it always has been my time. So I just want to say thank you guys. The program means everything to me and my family. Without this organization, I don't know where I would have went.
Well, you're here now. You're telling a great story here, inspiring a lot of people. But I want to also ask about need here, because we're talking about housing options, etc. So, for our listeners just joining us and going, what did I stumble into? This is an amazingly powerful moment here with Shamantha telling her story and learning about the impact that these programs have. But Stuart, Crystal, Tree, tell us about need when it comes to housing stock, for example. What do we have? How many people are you serving? Are you trying to grow that? What's going on now with Crystal?
Absolutely. And, this is awesome. This testimony, I call it, is awesome. And we do have openings available at both centers. And the goal is in the future, as we enter into a detailed strategic planning process, is to look at how we can broaden our services and look at our scope of what we're offering now and what we can do to improve and end poverty in the city of Rochester. And this is what we're all about. We're not only about planning for the right now, we're about planning for the futures and for the future. And Samantha is a seed. And it's so great to see that she has blossomed into a beautiful tree and now she is bearing fruit. So it's important to stress that, community. And community is, people getting together, going towards, going in one direction. So our interest and our main goal is to end poverty and homelessness. And this cannot be successful without the support of our local and federal government and foundations and like our listeners. So this is also a call for collaboration and innovative ideas to push forward.
All right. And I know this collaboration is all about that. But Tree, do you need to grow more? I mean, there's more Shamanthas out there who want
Absolutely.
To have her success story, who want to stabilize, who want to provide for their kids, move forward, whether they're all going to be a federal prosecutor or not. But whatever it's going to be, there's more of her out there. And how much, you know, in the way of resources does Sojourner have to help, and how much more do you need?
I think there's always room for improvement and for growth. The goal right now and in the near future is for Wilson Commencement Park and Sojourner House staff to get to know one another, to learn about best practices, what's working in each organization, what can be improved upon, what programs are similar, and what we can take from each and share with each other. One of the big things that we think we want to start with is the Dream Seeds Academy of Performing Arts, taking some of those programs and implementing them at Wilson Commencement Park. We think that that's a concrete way that we can begin. And as I said, then looking, and as Crystal said, looking at strategic planning then and identifying what are best practices that we can use so that we're using all of our resources to the best of our abilities, and then looking at funding sources. Once we've established those best practices, how can we grow? How can we grow? Because there is the need. We do see that. Crystal and I attend the Homeless Services Network here in Rochester, New York monthly, and we do see that there's a need for additional permanent housing options for people. And so we do see that that would be a need. But first, we want to maximize what we have.
Sure. And, you know, it was a few months ago that we, again, there's so many different organizations, I think, throughout this community that are trying to help various populations, the population that can be homeless and crisis. And I remember talking to the folks at Open Door Mission, and they had looked at trying to find or create a new long-term residential care facility for moms and children. And the message to me was that is an ongoing need in this community that we need more sort of focus on.
It is.
You agree with that?
I do. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And there needs to be more of it that can be paid for with different resources. For example, not everyone is going to qualify for Department of Human Services funds. Not everybody has Social Security disability funds. Some people may be sanctioned, but still want to work towards independence, see if they can find employment, and then learn how to maintain employment, maintain housing. And they may need that transitional piece, which is, can I live somewhere? Can I learn the skills necessary so that then I can move into permanent housing and maintain permanent housing? Because sometimes people can be just a paycheck away from losing housing for whatever. There are so many situations, as we talked about. They're as individual as people are. So I think one of the great things about Rochester is that we have wonderful resources and agencies that have extremely dedicated staff, people that care a great deal about the services that they provide, and they see it as a mission and a calling to help the people in Rochester. And so I'm proud to be part of this community, and I'm also very proud to be part of Sojourner House.
All right, Laura, just an email from a listener named Laura who said, thanks for sharing this story, Evan. How long do women and families have when it comes to housing? You use the word permanent housing, but sometimes 3 months is not enough, sometimes 6 months is not enough. How long do families in crisis have to sort of get back on their feet? That's from Laura.
Okay. Thank you, Laura. At Sojourner House, transitional housing is typically considered 3 to 6 months, although that's a soft number. We meet them where they are. For Wilson Commencement Park, it can be up to 2 years. So we have that flexibility. Permanent housing is permanent housing.
Mm-hmm.
As long as the need is there, they can maintain that housing. So I hope that answers her question.
Yeah. Crystal, you want to weigh in that as well?
Right. So it's up to 2 years. And within the 2-year time frame, we are extremely progressive when it comes to housing. So we have something called the self-investment boot camp. And we've implemented something that we've learned just recently, which is called the initiation, imitation, and
innovation process. And in the initiation phase, in order to help them along, we empower them and encourage our clients to make personal investments in themselves. And the imitation, speaking about community resources, we are now partnering with the Greater Rochester Association of Women's Attorneys, and we are able to provide one-on-one legal and professional coaching so that our clients are, one, informed, and two, empowered. And then moving on to the innovation phase, which is really, really neat. And this is over a two-year time frame. At the ending of the boot camp, our ladies complete professional portfolios, and they're required to plan and implement a community outreach event. So the goal is this. Not only are we providing housing, but we are pushing back into the community individuals who are willing to invest. So this is not just, once again, a now, but this is a forever. And looking at Shamantha again, this is a person who is going back into the community and making her presence known. And it's because the work that we have done with Pastone and Sojourner and Wilson Commencement Park, it makes it all worth it every day.
Yes, it does.
Well, I'm late for a break here. Let me get a short break in. We'll come back and answer more of your questions and continue our conversation talking about this marriage of Sojourner House and Wilson Commencement Park, the work that Pathstone's doing now, and the way that they've brought these organizations together to help people like Shamantha and others in our community that need it. So more about this conversation after this short break right here on Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Friday on the next Connections, Ward Stair joins me first hour. He's the music director for the RPO, and he's previewing their new season just unveiled, from Yo-Yo Ma to Shostakovich and more. Then second hour, changes in the audio recording industry could change the way music is recorded and played into the future. We'll talk about that, and we'll talk with you on Friday.
With recent workplace and school shootings, businesses are responding to rising concerns.
75% to 80% are looking to now do some type of armed intruder / active shooter training.
Fleeing, hiding, and fighting back. How companies hope to counter terrorists, angry employees, and other dangers. Later on All Things Considered from NPR News.
This afternoon at 4 on WXXI.
Welcome back to Connections. During our short break here, Stuart Mitchell, who is the president and CEO of Pathstone Corporation, was making a point about kind of what this partnership means and some of the things that we should understand about it. Go ahead, Stuart.
Well, I think the connection that we see often is that resources that people have available when they have hit rock bottom and they realize that they are homeless and are totally stuck and end up at Department of Social Services or any other crisis-oriented support service can end up in a place like the Cadillac. And the Cadillac can be a home. It can be the place that people end up seeing as their future. Or if the community is capable, willing, able to put the resources into what it takes to do the transition that we've just witnessed, they can go to Sojourner, they can go to Wilson, they can go to the YW. There are places where the energy and the effort and the commitment is made to help people help themselves through this transition. And it costs money. It is not free to do that. And so the idea that we are continually trying to communicate to the outside world is there's no free lunch in this process. And we can talk all day long about why Shamantha got to where she was, but it doesn't really matter. What really matters is what are we going to do about that as a community? And I think that's what the Anti-Poverty Initiative is about, is looking at new ways to create transformative ideas that will actually impact the lives of people, as Crystal said, to begin to become people who are giving in the community and being able to be a productive resource to others in the community. But it doesn't come free, and there has to be a way in which we find the concept that this is a investment, a real, sometimes expensive investment to make this happen. But once we do, we have broken that cycle of poverty, we have created opportunity, and people who have walked through that door then make those choices.
Well, but a couple of things here, and I'm not saying this to advocate on your behalf, I'm asking an honest question. We can say expensive maybe up front, But isn't there, if we do a better job as a society of reducing poverty, isn't that not only better for people who are no longer in poverty, but if you want to just reduce it right down to dollars and cents, better for taxpayers, isn't it?
Absolutely.
It's better for everybody.
Think of how much taxes people will pay in 10 years of a house that they own, and they're paying taxes on that house. That would more than pay for the investment it took to get somebody from the streets into a home ownership opportunity. It's the same as any other way of thinking about how people then become productive contributors to the community.
Yeah, and I know for some members of our community, an upfront cost that's higher, it's harder to envision that ROI, and I get it. But I think that has to be part of this discussion. And people may be wondering, where does funding for Pathstone, how does it break down? Where does it come from?
So this is a combination, and Tree can answer the details, and Crystal, they know the funding sources. But there are state resources, the Department of Social Services and the state that have set aside resources to deal with what are called transitional housing programs. And there's not enough money in those funding sources to do the kind of work that needs to be done. But maybe Tria or Crystal can talk about the actual details of the funding.
Funding is extremely important, and for both organizations and for a number of organizations in the Rochester community, we all pull from a big pool of funds. So we have the local continuum of care for the housing and urban development, and they submit our applications as one. So all the organizations that submit underneath this umbrella, the money is then, once awarded, divvied out. So there isn't one great lump sum. And we also have the Office of Temporary Disability, also called NYSHIP, and a number of our dollars come from those places. But here it is that those grants cover maybe staff, or a small portion for op cost, but we still have to invest in the services that we have to offer that are outside of the very small salaries that are received. So we have 68 units, and we have a number of units at Sojourner House, and we are investing in these homes. They are beautiful units. So it's a gated community. It's a place where children can run and play. Sojourner is absolutely spectacular. So it's not just a place to lay your head for 3 to 6 months or for 2 years. We are investing in these individuals who will later go on to be homeowners. It's absolutely stunning, but to keep that look and to keep that level of comfortability for our clients, we need the dollars and the funds to do that.
Tree?
One other thing I'd like to mention, Evan, is that 93% of mothers receiving homeless services report a history of trauma. 81% a history of physical and sexual abuse. And that's an alarming percentage. If people are only housed in emergency housing but need services to address that trauma and never receive it, then what we sometimes see is that they're chronically homeless. The cycle continues. If they can be in a supportive and nurturing environment and receive additional services, maybe get connected with mental health services, spend some time being stable, participating in a structured environment, learning life skills that maybe they hadn't developed before, then the reality of moving into permanent housing and staying in permanent housing is more likely.
Now, when it comes to trauma, I feel like we're finally, as a community, discussing it more regularly. And we talked about just kids in Rochester. How many kids are exposed to trauma? You can see violence, and that could be trauma. And, we know kids now grow up sometimes with signs of PTSD. So trauma has a wide range of definitions, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And we do see a lot of children that have been exposed to trauma, and we see them at Sojourner House and at Wilson Commencement Park. And it was one of the reasons that the Dream Seeds Academy of Performing Arts was created, because we wanted a place that we could provide support to the kids and the parents, you know, they receive support through that program as well, and give the kids an opportunity to play, but also develop leadership skills. I mean, we have children now that have been in the Dream Seeds Academy of Performing Arts for several years and are now LITs, leaders in training, and work with the younger kids. And that's so exciting. And some of our kids that are in jazz band are doing the same thing. They're developing skills that perhaps they wouldn't have developed or would have taken a lot longer to do so.
And again, you mentioned, give me the numbers again, 93 and 81%.
93, yes, and 81.
What were those full numbers again?
93% of mothers receiving homeless services report a history of trauma, and 81% experience multiple traumas. It's typically physical or sexual abuse.
Okay, and so when you're helping someone, you know, sometimes it's hard to understand exactly what someone's been through. It takes some time to get someone to open up and describe it sometimes.
Yes.
Because trauma isn't always something you wear on a sleeve. And is that a process that you need to invest time in?
Yes. Yes. And it can take hours, it can take days. But my office, for example, is in their home. Sojourner House, our 16-bed transitional facility, for example, is one large home. And my office is off the dining room. So I see the residents all day long. And the staff are there 24/7, and we see them all day long. So you never know who someone is going to sit and talk with. But because they are there and they can develop relationships with any staff person that they see or any other resident that they see, they may connect with someone and decide to open up. And when that happens, little bits come out, and we can start talking about what happened with their history. Mm-hmm. What do they see for their future? What kind of services might they find helpful for themselves while they're here? And Shamantha talked about it becoming a family, and it does. It's a community. We take care of each other. And it's amazing, too, to see the women in the facilities do that for each other.
It takes trust, though.
It does, and it takes a long time. But that's also why I say 3 to 6 months is a soft number, because it can take much longer for many.
Now, Tree, when we've had conversations with different organizations that serve people in crisis, homeless populations, we've had callers and we've had some people who work in different organizations describe varying approaches or varying mindsets about the best way to help someone going forward. Most of what we're hearing about long-term success does involve some of what Shamantha talked about, which is eventually you got to get to the point where you're choosing it too, mm-hmm. you know. And Shamantha really gave an impassioned and, I think, inspiring set of comments about that. But on the other side of that, some believe that, you know, if they're not showing signs at a certain point, that you don't want someone to get comfortable in a beautiful setting and feel like, well, I could be here forever. You know, I know some people listening right now will say, well, you got to put a number on it. It's got to be a harder number. You have to evict sometimes. You know, Andrew sent an email, and one of the listeners says, well, do they ever evict a family? You know, so how do you grapple with some of that, some of the mindset that some of the community has where you have to have tough love about this sometimes?
We definitely have tough love. We also have rules. Mm-hmm. And I had a conversation this morning with someone about the fact that wherever you go, there is going to be structure, whether it's imposed by others or you have to impose it yourself. And it may not be ideal for you. You may not love it, but it's part of reality. So we do have a handbook. We do have rules and procedures, and we do expect you to follow them. However, sometimes we all make mistakes. So when you're developing that trust, what happened here? Finding out, well, what were you thinking when you made that decision? How did you see this impacting yourself or the people around you? What would you have done differently? if you thought about it a little more? Or had we talked about it ahead of time?
So occasionally tough love, but not necessarily zero tolerance.
Exactly.
Yeah. Samantha, how are those rules okay with you?
They were fine with me, actually. And just to touch on that a little bit, a lot of people are like, rules, oh my God, I don't like rules. But you have to set rules in your life to become successful anyway. So it's like the rules that they have, it should not bother you too much, because you are there for 2 years to do one thing, and that is to better yourself. You should see nothing else. I know I didn't see anything. I just actually just took what they were offering me. I applied it to my everyday life, and I took off from there. And the rules or whatever, it's no rules.
Now, you clearly have a sense of gratitude about that, though. Would you say most of the people you've known in similar circumstances have had that gratitude when they've kind of come to realize, I need this help?
Yeah, especially after seeing me go through it and actually do it. They're just like, you are just so brave, you're strong. And I'm like, yeah, but I was not always as tough and as strong and as wise as I should have been. You know, when you're younger, things happen. Yeah. But if you are one of those people out there who are thinking about coming to join our family and want to actually be around a different type of environment, I would say just come, fill out an application. God works in mysterious ways. See what happens.
Samantha has 3 kids between, 7 the youngest, 16 the oldest. How much motivation do you feel in your own life now, just looking at your kids, for you to be successful?
A whole lot. I try to mimic what I want my kids to actually see in life. I don't want them to think that everything is peaches and cream, because it's not. You do fall. Sometimes you fall hard, but you have to get back up. So now my kids, they see me now. Mommy's way more happier. She's been happy for years. Yeah, because I went to Wilson Commencement Park and I got myself better. And then I wanted to continue to be better. So I joined Monica's Place, which is through Pathstone as well. So you got to want it. I want it, you know? I think the type of people that may come across Wilson Commencement Park or Pathstone are maybe a lot of people who don't want to talk about sort of the things they went through in their life, because some people are embarrassed. You know what I mean? So they don't force anything out of you. Everything takes time. And it's just it's a great place to be. It's a wonderful place to be.
Well, so as we move toward the end of this conversation this hour, let me turn back to Stuart Mitchell, who's the president and CEO of Pathstone Corporation. We brought up the Rochester Monroe Anti-Poverty Initiative. And we know that over the summer into the fall, they had put work groups together. And some of that was meeting with CEOs like you. Some of that was lawmakers. Some of that was heads of government. Some of that was listening to people like Samantha, you know, people who have needed resources and services and can explain what poverty can do and be like and what works and maybe what doesn't. You know, throughout that process, did you feel involved enough, Stuart? I mean, how would you rate it so far? It's too early. Everybody wants to grade the Anti-Poverty Initiative because, in its infancy, and we're all trying to pull back and not do that yet. But how have you seen it so far?
I'm actually one of the ones who are being graded because I'm the co-chair of the Housing Task Force.
So how do you think
and
so far?
And I think, all of what you just described is the way the process has unfolded. And Leonard has done a good job, I think, of
talking about Leonard Brock,
head of the initiative, keeping expectations in check, because as he often says, this problem didn't get created overnight, and it's not going to get solved overnight.
Everybody wants what's going to be different in a year, right?
Exactly.
Everybody wants it.
And the conversation we've just been having about housing, to put that in perspective, housing is not in the top tier of the issues that the initiative is going to address first in an official kind of way. They're going to come at the they're looking at system design, and they're looking at adult mentoring and navigating, and that, I think that's a description, a way of describing what Sojourner Wilson does, is navigate people through a process that they choose to take. And looking at early childhood support, those are three really, really important arenas for us to begin to have a transformational impact on poverty. Housing is, you know, in addition to being the fifth poorest city, we are hugely segregated in the arena of housing. And until we can figure out how to create choice and have and allow people to really live where they want to live, whether and live where they want to live and be able to live where they want to live regardless of their income, we're not going to see a breakdown of the kind of concentration that the kind of issues that concentrated poverty causes. And I think that's a huge, huge issue that we've got to get our arms around. So we're frankly looking at can we create a dispassionate discourse that would take us outside of the emotion of racism and the emotion of prejudice and look at how could we have a teach-in about what it means to break down this segregated community that we have created over time. Not one person's fault, but all persons' faults, especially all right. those of us who are white.
Well, as we wrap the conversation now, where would you tell people to get online and learn more information about these partnerships? What's available? Stuart?
That's a good question. Well, you can certainly come to the Passstone website, and you will find, and certainly in about a month, it's going to be a much better website. But right now, okay. you can find us in there. I know you can get to the Sojourner website, and I'm sure you can get to the Wilson's website as well, and find us. Call me at 340-3368, and I'll pass it on.
Well, I promise we won't overanalyze early on with the Anti-Poverty Initiative, but I also promise we want to keep checking in because the community cares. And yeah, 1 year is not going to fix everything, but let's keep checking in because we got to know what's happening here. And this is just one small example. It's a big example, I think, of a partnership. So thank you, Stuart.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you for being here. Stuart Mitchell is the President and CEO of Pathstone. Tree Clemens, Director of Resident Services at Sojourner House at Pathstone. Thank you, Tree.
Thank you.
Also here is Crystal Ellis from Wilson Commencement Park. Crystal, thank you so much. Great
thank
having you.
You
here. And Samantha Cooper sharing her remarkable story. I hope you achieve all of your dreams, and I hope everyone in your shoes heard your story today. Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening this afternoon. We'll talk to you Friday on Connections.